Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
Well, myths about cold and flu are everywhere, and so many misconceptions and rumors about these colds and flus are as hard to contain as the diseases and viruses themselves. My guest is Dr. David Hill. He's president of Cape Fear Pediatrics in Wilmington, North Carolina. Welcome to the show, Dr. Hill. First flu, cold flu myth. Bust it up for us.
You know, I think the most important myth to kill right now, because this is a really dangerous myth. This myth can lead to real health problems, hospitalization, ICU hospitalization, in a few tragic cases, even death, is that the flu vaccine somehow can cause the flu or weaken the immune system. I want to knock that one out right now because it is the opposite of what's true. Vaccines strengthen the immune system and they keep you from getting the disease you're vaccinated against. And I think one of the reasons that people believe this is because, to some extent, the live attenuated flu vaccine, the nose spray new flu vaccine, really is a weakened form of the flu virus. So in that case, if you get the nose spray vaccine, you do get a very mild set of flu symptoms. However, you shouldn't get full-blown flu, and it's strongly protective against actual wild-type influenza protection. The flu shot cannot in any way give you flu in any conceivable shape or form, and more than having a dog hair is like owning a dog.
Wow, that is a great myth to bust up. So, treatment myths. There's no treatment for the flu. There's no treatments for the cold. Antibiotics can fight the flu or a cold. Break up some of these.
Antibiotics have no place in treating viral illnesses. Now, when we talk about influenza specifically, there are a couple of different medicines that we can use to treat influenza. The most common is oseltamivir, and you have to get it in the first 2 days of infection. So if you think your child seems to have flu, they're lying around, they got a high fever, they're coughing, runny nose, tummy ache, they look awful, they hurt all over, get them tested in the first 48 hours, because once you get to day three, the 48-hour window passes, there is no point in treating. It is not going to do any good. So you really want to get them in early if you think they look bad enough to need flu testing. When it comes to colds, there is zero use for antibiotics. And here is a myth that we need to hit early on, too, which is that green snot means your child needs antibiotics. Green snot is a normal part of a cold. It's going to happen usually on the fourth, fifth, sixth days of colds. Usually the snot starts clear and it ends clear, and in the middle it's going to be green. But green snot alone does not mean that your child needs antibiotics.
I love that you tackled that one in such a lovely way, Dr. Hill. You're one of our favorite guests. Now, here's one of my favorites. Stomach flu is a form of the flu.
Stomach flu. You know, influenza, unlike other cold viruses, tends to come with intestinal and stomach symptoms. So kids who have influenza are much more likely to have vomiting or diarrhea along with their other symptoms, belly pain, than they are to have just a runny nose, stuffy nose, a cough. You can get influenza without those symptoms, but it can be a common part of influenza, and that's where the stomach flu comes from. On the other hand, kids who just have vomiting and diarrhea and aren't having any coughing, runny nose, stuffy nose, headache, body aches, they are unlikely to be suffering influenza. They probably have a different stomach virus or a different bacterial infection of the intestines.
Sure, I mean, that could come from rotavirus or bacteria or food or really anything. Not washing your hands after going to the bathroom. You know, that stomach flu. They need to change the name of that one. Now, what about if you've gotten the flu? Can you get it again in the same season?
You know, flu comes in two general types, flu A and flu B. And even people who have gotten one or the other may still get infected with the other type later on in the season. And that's just really tragic, because one flu infection is awful. Two flu infections, oh my gosh, it's miserable. So people say, well, I've gotten the flu. I probably don't need to get my flu vaccine this year because I already got the disease. Chances are good you only got one of them. and it may still be worth protecting yourself with the vaccine against the other, or you really could get it twice in a year.
Now clear this one up once and for all, Dr. Hill. It is an old wives' tale. If you go outside without a coat, you're going to catch a cold.
That's one of my favorites.
Mine too.
Yeah, kids getting cold makes kids cold. You and I actually talked recently about hypothermia, the sorts of things that can happen to kids when they get too cold with their health. We can go back on Healthy Children or our Radio ND archives and find that talk. But getting a cold is ironically not one of those things. Being cold, getting wind in your ears, not zipping your jacket, there are all sorts of reasons to keep kids warm during the winter, but that is not one of them.
Now, is there any truth to the fact that if they go out like that, maybe they are compromising their immune system?
You know, not really.
And maybe
not,
making them more susceptible.
Not in a way anybody's ever been able to prove. And if you go back and read these experiments, they're really fun. They have, like, volunteers soaking their feet in tubs of ice water, for example, or being, you know, kept in a cold room for an hour to see if they get any more likely to get a cold. And nobody's ever been able to really show a correlation between cold temperature exposure and getting a cold. However, you can compromise your immune system by, for example, not getting enough sleep. Children who don't get enough sleep are more likely to get colds, and also by being vitamin D deficient. Kids who get adequate vitamin D, at least 400 units a day, are much less likely to get colds, based on a couple of studies, than kids who aren't getting adequate vitamin D supplementation. So probably one of the best things you can do to keep your child from getting cold is obviously hand washing, getting plenty of sleep for that child, and making sure they're getting adequate vitamin D during the day.
Rock on. That's great advice. What about feed a cold, starve a fever, and chicken soup? I'd like to talk about those two things.
You know, definitely the steamy warmth and fluid from chicken soup makes people feel better. Does it do anything to help them fight the virus off any faster? I don't think we've ever been able to prove that. But I'm a huge fan of chicken soup, so put me down on the who cares whether it helps or not. It's tasty. and then feed a cold, sir. I've never been able to keep those two straight, and they're not grounded in medical literature. So I feed everything, personally. I think, you know, I like food. So cold, fever, whatever, I think feed it.
Well, and besides the fact that if you are ill, poor nutrition does not help you get better. However, liquids, and the more liquids that you can ingest, do, correct? So we want to push the liquids.
Absolutely. And one of the myths we want to tackle is that if a child is throwing up, like they had the influenza, they start throwing up, they need to be on bowel rest, right? You want to rest their stomach and not give them anything. They need to keep drinking fluid. They shouldn't eat for 8 hours after they throw up, but even a child who's actively vomiting should continue to take about a teaspoon of clear liquid, water, Pedialyte, about every 5 minutes, because some of it is staying down, and even if not all of it stays down, some is better than none.
Last 30 seconds, best advice for the myths of colds and flu.
Best advice is if you're worried that your child has something more than cold, go ahead and bring them into the doctor and get some professional advice on that. If you think they have influenza, get them tested in the first 2 days of illness, because on day three, it's too late to give medication to make it better.
So those are some of the myths we have broken up once and for all. And if you missed any of them, please listen again anytime on demand or on the go at radiomd.com, and share this show with your friend because Dr. Hill has given such great information. And if you are having one of those little arguments that parents often have with other parents, you can put this podcast on and say, "See, I told you that putting your kids outside in the cold does not cause them to get a cold." These and other things are now cleared up once and for all. You're listening to Healthy Children right here on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter @YourRadioMD, and stay well.